yeah, man, it's going down. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a special guest in the house, man. Listen, I first heard him on a Screw Tape, man. Four Deep, Real G's Road, Four Deep. You know what I'm saying? From Four Deep, man, we got Class One.
And hey,
Rob, what's going down, man?
Already, man. It's a pleasure to be here, man. It's a blessing, really.
It is.
Already, man. How y'all feeling, man?
Blessed.
You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling good.
Yes, sir.
Already, man. So, shit, what's new? Shit, what's going down, man?
On the cool, like, a lot of people probably been wondering, like, what we've been up to, like, what are we getting into new? Me, personally, I just got into filming, cool films, filming a lot of music videos, a gang of music videos. I've been touring with Mike Jones, so I got a lot. There's a documentary that's going to come out on him, and I'm going to go ahead and spearhead that. It's a gang of footage. And we're just doing us, man. Nothing really a lot to talk about.
Class, what's new, man?
Man, hip-hop junkies, you know what I'm saying? Cool and Class, Uncensored. Podcast coming soon, The Real Hip-Hop Junkies. That's what's new. But yeah, man, we still here rolling 4-deep, you know what I'm saying? Like, Kool tell you what he been doing. I ain't gonna lie, man, I been in all kind of shit. TDC, Digga, or the streets, you know, but I don't never start rapping. You
for
know?
Sure.
And now, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to be in a better place and keep on growing. Because if it don't grow, it's dead, you know what I'm saying? If it's in the arena, don't grow. If it don't grow, it's dead. But that's about it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Already. So, man, talk about, man, how y'all even, you know, met. Like, you know what I'm saying? How y'all even came together and everything.
Class will be able to tell you.
Man, I can sure tell you because, to me, when I met Kool, he was with Big Boss. And Big Boss was one of my favorite groups at the time. That was the early 90s. The group was OG Style.
OG Style, okay.
Right,
yeah,
with
yeah,
the song,
OG Style.
I Know How to Play Him, I Know How to Catch Him Slipping.
Yeah.
Even that Sitting in the Harris County Jail, that's OG Style, you know what I'm saying? It also went on the Convicts album. Shout out to Big Mike, RIP to 3-2.
3-2.
3-2 was a legend too, you know what I'm saying? Real, real talk. We got a bunch of that story about him, you know what I'm saying? Coming back from LA after he had just stayed with Snoop and them. And like how he had grew and like, He was live. I just remember
tell me how
you know what I'm saying?
Tell me how he was before he went to LA and then how he was when he
I
didn't
know
back.
Him. Well, I seen him before he went to LA because I was a fan of Rap A Lot. Shout out to Jay Prince, the boss, for sure, the king of the South, yeah. All that shit. I knew him before that from like a fan point of view, but when he came back, I had ran into Kool and Boss. Actually was riding through the parking lot of Gucci's and seen Boss on the other side of the street on the payphone. You know what I'm saying? Cause back then wasn't no cell phone, so niggas pull up
so
on the phone with the bros. So you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I had just seen them niggas. I had just, before I came to Club Gucci's that evening, I had just seen a video on MTV Raps. And them niggas for Catch Them Slipping.
Yeah.
Well, they in New York on the subway, like, you know, probably one of the first H-Town groups that you would see in New York, like, was accepted because Catch Them Slipping was a
on
place.
The cool, the
is
first.
A
on the cool, the
you
first.
Know, so they was already like some of my heroes or some people because I love Rap A Lot. I come up in H-Town, you know what I'm saying?
What side of town both of y'all
from? I'm from the North, Greensport.
I'm from the Southwest.
You know what I'm saying? But I stayed all over Houston.
Southwest,
I stayed
like
in Broadgate, mostly.
Fondren, Bissonnette. Beach Nut,
the West,
Bel Air,
period.
Everywhere on the West, I stayed up.
And you was on the West and the North.
I'm from the North, from Greens Point, but I have lived and been all over Houston. I just consider myself an H-Town nigga. You know what I'm saying? But I come up in Greens Point, Goodson Road, Seminole, Ella Means. You know what I'm saying? All there. I'm on the North. But yeah, man. So anyway, I was at the club that night. This is how I met Boss and Kool. And dipping through, I was jamming my demo. My partner had just came. One of my partners had just got shot. So I was standing in my driveway, and my partner Charles pulled up. Like, what's going on, man? You know what I'm saying? jump in, man. I said, hold on, I just made a demo, matter of fact, let me grab it. So I grabbed a demo, jump in, boom, we shoot the Gucci. And we ride through the parking lot, and when we was finna leave, and I had just left out the house 4 hours before my partner passed by and picked me up looking at videos, that's what I'm saying. And I saw OG Style Video, MTV Raps, which that's a big thing back then, 92, 90.
For sure, yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? For sure.
And I knew who they was, I loved their album. My favorite song on their album was Power. On the OG Style album, that was my favorite song. But anyway, so we go across the parking lot. I tell my partner, man, that's OG Style. Woozy woo. That nigga, like, he wasn't really into hip hop like me, but he was, cause he had got more into the streets. You know what I'm saying? And I was trying to, you know, my partner had just got shot at a trap we had, so I was trying to, I was going through some. So I need to get out the streets, you know what I'm saying? But still, ain't just get out of them, man. But you know. So anyway, boom, so I see them, so we pull up on them, and I got the demo, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, say, you big boss, my OG Style. You know, hold on, man, you know what I'm saying? Woo, 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 click, what's up? So he come to the car, stick his head in the window, and my partner telling him, look, this is my homeboy demo, he going out, you know what I'm saying? So boss listening, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, that's big boss, you know what I'm saying? He was in the Benz, and I say, man, he say, look at man, here go my number, call me, woo, 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 boom. So, you know, I started blowing his phone up. You know, we just got cool and close. I kind of became like a protege, you know what I'm saying? Like going to the shows they was having. So I remember meeting like 3-2 and Big Mello and different rappers, cause I was in the mix with him now as part of the OG Style movement. You know what I'm saying? And had met Ian and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And then that group broke up. So long story short, that's how 4 Deep eventually came about, because Boss kept producing. He was the producer of the group. He was the rapper, you know what I'm saying? The group broke up, then Boss wanted to keep on, he wanted to push out a new group. So we came with 4 Deep, and you know what I'm saying? That's how I met Kool. And that's how I got more acquainted with 3-2, because when 3-2 came back from LA, he came and was chilling with Boss, and Boss was producing in my album, and that motherfucker was hard. It never came out, but it influenced me. Motherfucker was hard, bro. But anyway,
Tell me about like when you were around 3-2 and they doing his album.
Okay, now when I meet 3-2, he just coming back from LA, and he got braids now. That nigga.
When he left, what he had before, just like a razor flat top or something.
He had like
he was cut down. It was
yeah,
cut down.
You know what I'm saying? From like when I saw him, like maybe one or two shows from like that's 3-2. You know what I'm saying?
He had a little
or
like afro
from seeing him
and
on Pieces or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And he was just G'd up, like, and his swag was, I don't know, but it ain't, it's like he went there, like he probably went to LA, I think, from, and he grew, like, gained that culture, like, back then, and it would jump, you know what I'm saying? He jumped in the mix back then, but then some of that shit rubbed off on them, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a balance, but anyway, so 3-2, man, when I met him, he was live, bro, like lyric, you know what I'm saying? And he had an album, Boss was producing it. And I was supposed to get on the song with him and Big Mike. I'm like, man, that's gonna be my debut, man. Cause I have been I'm paying my dues. I'm hanging around with niggas, Boss feeling me. I meet 3-2. We drinking Purple Passion and shit, you know what I'm saying? So 3 cut, he started, you know, like warming up to me, you know what I'm saying? Had a song for me, but that never came about because of other situations. But man, just to say that, I just, you know, 3-2, man, was live, my nigga, you know what I'm saying?
One of the livest.
One of the livest, my nigga, real talk, you know what I'm saying? I admired him and looked up to him or whatever. That nigga was told, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that, what's really going on and that Big Baby shit, he started saying that shit. Because he used to be,
saying,
my partner Big Boss was big, he Big Boss, you know what I'm saying? He used to be saying, Big Boss, what's up, Big Baby? You know what I'm saying? Like, he used to be talking about, and then when he went out there and he came back, you know what I'm saying? He was telling us, like, how that shit was. Motherfucker was starting to see it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So, where do you come in at?
I used to be with Boss on my legs. When I say every day, literally every day.
Yeah, he ain't lying.
he putting on a record just to listen to it, to sample it. I'm sleeping on the floor. I'm waking up, and he's, you know what I'm saying, going to go shop to pick up records. I was with him every day. You know, other than that, one thing Boss did instill in me is always have a work ethic.
Yeah, definitely.
So I stayed having a day job. I worked at You did. Dairy Queen. Did. I worked at
We used Walgreens, to be getting free food. Kool gonna always, when we pick him up, go to the studio, Kool gonna always pop out with a bag full of them people shit. You feel me? Yeah, yeah.
That was one thing. His thing is, you know, always work. And, you know, a lot of people, as cool as Boss was, he worked on the weekends.
He worked at a radio station.
Yeah, he worked at a news radio station. He was a producer. At an all-news radio station. Mm-hmm. It was an AM station on top of that.
Oh, really?
So he didn't really have to do too much. I cut my first demo at that radio station. The whole OG Style album, he cut that inside of the radio station. He snuck us in. He worked from like midnight until.
And when he say E is... The other half of OG Style, the original Style, OG Style. They were a group, man, that was on Rap a lot.
Those guys used to fall in love and out of love with each other. They were brothers. When I say cat fights,
but that song, the
boys used to go out all
know,
the time.
There's that song about I'm sitting in the Harry County jail. That's E. He actually called Boss, that song was 10B3 or 10B4, it was a song that almost didn't even make the album 10B3 or 10B4, cause that's the Harris County 1301. He called him from 10B3 or whatever that shit was called. Called him from their cell, from their block, and Boss, and started saying like what he seen around him, you know, and Boss recording it on the phone. Sitting in the Harry County jail, wasting out, you know what I'm saying? So that shit actually was recorded. He called his nigga on the phone, because we used to always call from the phone. Nigga be squabbling in the background, all kind of shit. Especially from that was a gladiator tank, 10B3 or 10B4, you feel me? So that's why it was for real, like, I'm sitting there. What he seeing around him?
That's an actual song.
And he recorded the shit on the phone good enough to turn it in, because Boss was a producer. One of the livest, my nigga. D-Livest.
A lot of people don't know this. I'm just.
And he just turned it into a.
Let me just say a fun fact.
On the Convicts album and OG Style album. Just that look. Sitting in the. But it's really OG Style, you know what I'm saying?
And that was Jay's doing, you know. And big up to Lil Jay.
Because Jay know how to market shit. That go with the Convicts. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? That was this.
Big visionary that he was. Mm-hmm. I Know How to Play Him. It's co-produced by DJ Premier.
No shit.
Yes. The song is actually co-produced by DJ
Premier. That's before me getting with them, you know what I'm saying?
Co-produced by DJ Premier and Carlos.
I know it's a fact, because him and Boss was cool.
Carlos, you know Carlos Gaza?
Carlos, he used to fuck with
They actually did the first demo over at Carlos's house. Because Carlos was cool with Premier.
And Boss.
You know what I'm saying?
The niggas I knew.
And Premier was like, yeah, we're just going to, you know, add to Steve Miller and woo-woo, and that's how Catch Him Slippin'. And Catch Him Slippin' is like one of the biggest songs that them boys actually ever did.
One of the milestones, or however you say that shit, one of the songs that got Houston to another level. Because the kind of group OG Style was, that's what I'm saying. They from Houston, E from Fourth Ward, Boss from like the Southwest or the H-Time period, from the South to the North to the Trey. But them niggas was the first group to do a video in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like they on the subway playing, running around, and have, you know, them niggas in New York, because
New York accepted them
off the rip. But they still, H-Time, like they live, you ain't never heard them. OG Style, Catch Them Slipping, man. That's a classic, you know what I'm saying, as far as H-Time's history. And like what part it played in there, you know what I'm saying? Right, which you know.
This is dope. I would just have to say, being around Boss, not only was he a big brother.
It was a learning experience.
An influencer, and all around great producer, man. He was a great honor to be around Boss.
And like I said, I was young and I looked up to him.
Henry Chris Chrisman, man, give him his flowers. If it wasn't for him, a lot of cats wouldn't even know how to do a lot of stuff. But at the same time, hey, man, it's cool.
Like Big Boss actually produced the One Day You're Here for the song that UGK got. He produced that song. That's what I'm saying. That was one of the songs I first heard on 3-2 album when he came back from LA and was working with Boss now on a solo project. You feel what I'm saying? and three and One Day was his song. He had a whole song. You know how Scarface say, "On My Playing Tricks" was my song, and I had a whole song. At first, he had all three verses, and it was hard in the abyss. One Day, but see, Boss.
Who was doing the hook?
Runner Isley. Because Boss was such a producer, he had Runner Isley going, "One Day."
Yeah, he's a sampling. When I say a sampling genius.
And then you're gone. It was just like that. But he had Runner Isley actually on the hook. You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, you know, like three and Pimp, them niggas was partners and brothers and damn fools too, you know what I'm saying? So
them two rolled together like this.
Ended up being on there, you know what I'm saying?
Them two rolled together like this, man.
3-2 and Pimp.
Tell some stories about them two and y'all ever seen them together.
Like, well, I remember we was working on the 4 Deep album, Another Day in the Jungle. And I had met Pimp already, and Bun and DJ Bird and Big Russ and them. I had met them like in like 90, 91, 92, like right after Tell Me Something Good, that album had dropped. Cause I remember I called the number on the back, cause we used to be doing shows at a club called Kokomo's, the teenage club on the north. And we had won the contest there, me and my group, Grand Theft. We was going against CIA, my partners from, 802. But anyway, we ended up winning the contest, you know what I'm saying, my group Grand Theft. And the guy, the owner of the club was like, "Why don't y'all throw a show?" We was probably about 16, so maybe between 16 and 18, me and the group I was with, man, my partners, Tim Grand, Bird, all them niggas. But we did the show, won the show, and the man was like, "Why don't y'all just throw a concert at the club?" We had such a big teenage following, like in that area, because the club was on like 1960 in Kirkendall, by Greenspoint, but our teenagers used to be there from all over Houston. It was a well-known teenage club. So we threw the concert. So I bought the UGK tape, cause Boss, by that time I had me a Boss, and Boss was putting me up on a bunch of shit I didn't know. And he was like, "You need to check out these niggas that we just did a show with, OG style, like, you know what I'm saying, called UGK." And I went to the record store then, and I looked, and they had one of the motherfuckers left, and I bought it. And I was like, "Man, these niggas, we wasn't saying throw back then, but I was like, okay, I see why he told me that." You know what I'm saying? When a man asked me to do the show, I was like, "Well, shit," I was just thinking like, "Shit, I want to call them niggas, see if they want to do it, because I want to meet them niggas anyway." We was all around the same age. I think we was probably like 16 or 17 when I met Pimp, no, because we the same age. So anyway, I called the number on the back, and I was like, "Yeah, I want to see if I can get UGK to come do a concert at a club called Kokomo's. I'll give him $100. Because, you know, the man was like, "Y'all can do the concert and take the money out the door." I don't know, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, "I'll give y'all niggas $100. And it was Bun B to answer the phone. So, you know, it's crazy. And we all teenagers. He like 16, 17. So Bun like, "See, the hell yeah, we'll do it." You know what I'm saying? Boom, we did it. We met, them niggas came. It was Russell, Bun, and Bird. And Russell was more like, "Man, 100, we need some more." When he seen all them kids there, but I'm a kid at the same time, I'm thinking that's a great deal, because I don't know how much I'm going to get yet. You know what I'm saying? And I had to pay some more. I was trying to just do the shit like that. So anyway, that dude was like, "Nah, we ain't going to do this shit." You know what I'm saying? So look, because I didn't, you know what I'm saying? It was a bunch of motherfuckers there, though, that night. And he wanted some more money, and Pimp was like, "Hell nah, we gonna do this shit." You know what I'm saying? Like, cause he young, and he seen all these teenagers, and he a teenager, we finna do this. So anyway, they end up doing, I gave him the money. Long story short, like.
They did it for the $100?
Yeah, for Pimp and Bun to get 50 and 50 each, you know what I'm saying? I probably got like a little bit more than that myself, cause I had to pay Boss for something. Remember, Boss done the show tell, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was like we already won the talent contest. Now the man at the little teenage club want us to do a show.
Doing business, like a lot of kids like it.
So boom, you know, it's gonna be beneficial. So we do the shit, and that was like my first meeting them niggas, like Pimp and Bun. You know what I'm saying? And me and Bun, me and Bun used to be on the phone all the time. But me and Pimp, we just used to like we click. You know what I'm saying? So but anyway, 3-2. As for the story I tell you about 3, I remember when we was working on the 4 Deep album. Now this is the first 4 Deep album, and
wait, pause. Why is it just 3 of y'all and y'all called 4 Deep?
It was a fourth member, but the fourth member decided he wanted to do something else in life. Like he
wanted
was,
to go to college.
He's actually the guy singing on Rolling 4D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in and out.
WG, yeah.
But technically, the fourth he member is a Glock too. 9.
He can sing his ass out, though.
Technically, right. The fourth member is a Glock 9, right. And he's guaranteed to stay right behind.
Yeah, that's something that was said in one of the verses.
Come up
so when he left the group, he left the group so spontaneous that a nigga had no choice but to just be creative. Like, well, what's the fourth member? It'll be three niggas. The fourth nigga is the strap on the floor. So that's 4D. We riding 4D. We got the strap on the floor, under the floor, man, with us. So, yeah, and then, you know, when they came to Pimp Bout, okay, at this point, I'm just not getting into a professional group myself, which is 4D. I ain't seen Pimp in a while. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know 3-2 like that, but I know him not through Bouts. And when 3 came to put his verse on the 4D album, he on the song called Take That Motherfucker on the first 4D. It just so happened Pimp bring him. And Pimp now done got the deal with Jive. He got a white interpreter, you know what I'm saying? We chilling, we getting in our zone. And I just remember 3-2 going in there going off, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that was just my remembrance of them niggas at that point. We was all in the mix and I had popped in, they was doing their thing, and it was just a good time, man. And you know, both of them dudes,
what
man.
What y'all think they doing, man? How was their first time, man?
Doing what not?
I say, how was their first time? Like, what y'all think they all doing, man? Like, just
well, at that time right there, that we all was together in my life, me, Pimp, Boss, Cool, and 3-2. That was the first 4 Deep album we were working on, another day, yeah, in the jungle. So it was exciting because that was my first album, you know what I'm saying? And now since we've been a little younger, I ain't seen Pimp because they've been doing their thing. Right after they did the show with me at the Teenage Club, Tell Me Something Good took off 2 weeks later. Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, like matter of fact, it's in Pimp book. He talk about that club they went to on the novice, Kokomo's. Well, whoever wrote, like that part right there in Pimp book is talking about coming to Kokomo's. And he got my name in the book too. Class one, I'm in like it's like in the back of the book, cause we got a song on one of my solo albums that came out later with UGK on, you know what I'm saying? Called Peep Your Gap. But yeah, man, Pimp and 3-2, man, you know, we was partners, man, you know what I'm saying? And it's an honor to have known them, cause both of them was live and they was legends, you know what I'm saying? On that note, and Boss was R.I.P. the Boss too, and E from OG Style. Yeah.
Man, so talk about the actual song, man, you know what I'm saying, Rolling 4D, man.
Well, like I said, we came out with Another Day in the Jungle album in 93.
That was through Ichiban.
That was through Ichiban, Albatross and Ichiban. And we were officially, before that, supposed to be on Rap-A-Lot. Because, like I say, OG Style was with Rap-A-Lot, so Boss still had
contracts. That's why I was wondering, like, why y'all agreements with Rap-A-Lot that he had to
fulfill. But see, Jay being so real and such a businessman, he gonna win either way it go. You know what I'm saying? And all due respect, he was so real that he told Boss, well, y'all, I'm gonna give y'all a choice. Like, I could drop the album on Rap-A-Lot, but it's gonna be after, like, I think he had to drop Too Much Trouble and like a couple more albums.
It was gonna take too long.
That was coming out that year. Dana Dane had signed a Rap-A-Lot.
It was gonna take too long.
He liked the shit, but he was like, yeah.
It's gonna take too long.
Or else if y'all want to, y'all can go and do y'all thing. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna have to get my money out of this shit too. You know what I'm saying? So it was real. Square business.
You can't, I mean, shit.
We dropped the album because it was ready already, yeah. And we got a deal and went through Albatross and Ichiban on the first album. So that's where Rolling 4 Deep comes from. The original version is on that album, which dropped. It's called Another Day in the Jungle, and it was really called Rolling 4 Deep. But then in 94, between 93 and 94, we had went on like a little cottage tour, so we thought about let's do a remix album. So that's what the remix come on.
Okay, let's not skip the tour. Let's not skip the tour though. Because this shit, I know that shit was live back in the day, man. In the 90s,
it was live. It was live because it was new. It was some new shit.
Super live.
It was in the 80s. like ate it, like between LL dropping Radio, the Beastie Boys dropping Public, all this shit was live too, man.
Went to Freaknik, you know what I'm saying? Actually, that year we went to Freaknik,
bro. You know what I'm saying?
The year y'all did the college tour, y'all
we went to Freaknik.
Yeah, talk about that.
I went to Freaknik. Well,
I didn't go that time. Y'all
no,
went.
You didn't y'all because you dropped out. But
yeah,
it was a dope tour for the simple fact that we only targeted college kids and college radio and the hood. Say we went to Alabama, which we did. We'll first go to the college, you know what I'm saying? Then we'll go to the college, and then from the college, okay, we'll go to the kids. Like, what's the hood out here?
Yeah, I read.
Take us to the hood. So we'll go to the hood. We'll pass out free merchandise. We always had free singles. We had t-shirts at the time and stickers. Stickers was it wasn't like a staple that a lot of people used, but at the same time, it actually was a real tool that we actually, because kids was always going to stick this, you know, stickers everywhere. So it really worked for us. It really worked for us. And Boss was real intricate in designing the whole sticker. You know what I'm saying? So we wound up doing like 3 to 4 or 5 shows up out of there. By the time when you first come in, it's a wave that you first come in. You're hitting them up. They're hearing your song on the radio. They can get to talk to you. Boom. Now they want to hear more. Here comes the club DJs. Okay, well then what's going on in the city? Y'all went over there to such and such hood. Hey man, we want y'all to come to the club. All right, we got your info. It's time to double back. You missed the double back. We did that like 93, 94.
Yeah.
I mean, and as far as any artists asking me now, because I do a lot of artist development, how do I break? Start with college.
Yeah.
It's just as simple. Don't have to pay the radio DJ, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to pay the DJ. Like if you was to go to a bigger city, you know what I'm saying? Say I go to Atlanta. Why am I going to Hot Beat, whatever? Nah, I'm finna go to the college. They're gonna play my song for free. Number one, it's brand new. Number two, they like it. Number three, if it's hot, it's just hot.
And the thing about that too is when you do colleges, you service so many people at one time.
Everybody's from every other state from around around the world.
In the demographic, like age-wise, that you're trying to reach already, you just
come on. That's the key.
See, that's what made Boss such to me a genius too. When he was live with who he was, and he underrated as a producer and just a hip hop junkie or a person that know rap music and what he wanted as a producer and businessman that didn't just get the accolades. You know what I'm saying? He passed away too, but Cause like I say, he'll produce the album. He'll think we're gonna put stickers out, and we're gonna put this out. Like he was just on that shit already. And
think about it, class. Like before, whenever we go into a studio and Boss will call me or call you and say, "Hey, I got a song," the concept is already thought of. The concept of the album is already done. Here's the song that I want you to do. Mm-hmm. Now he's drawing out of you what needs to fit the song. That's a producer to me.
And like he was saying, he was also good with the promotion side.
Marketing.
Like we gonna hit the colleges.
He's a marketer. He's a marketing genius.
You know what I'm saying? And we gonna hit the hood. You know what
I'm saying? That's why I also love Mike Jones. Mike Jones is a marketing fuck.
Well, that was similar to the little Boss, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He gonna hit the streets. He used to hit the streets.
He's a marketing. He's diabolical.
Blew up in the strip club.
Speaking of Mike Jones, you know, you talk about the project you did with Switcher House, man.
Well, I did an album. I did an album in 2001. Where I got Michael Watts to chop it up. It's a Switcher House edition classic album. It's called Class One, the One and Only. You know what I'm saying? Class One. It got like a bunch of my flows from back in the 90s on there that Watts chopped up and screwed and blessed. And songs from 4D, songs I had done on my solo album, Once in a Blue Moon, produced by K-Tron. And like some newer shit I had done. You know, I got Adrian Green on there, J-Dog on there, Lil Mario on there, Slim on there, UGK on there. You know what I'm saying? It's chopped up by Watts, the one and only. But it's a classic. So yeah, on that note right there, that's what it, you know. So.
Yeah. And why didn't talk about like why you kind of just chose to just do a one off? You know what I'm saying? And not really stay.
You mean like lead a group? Or what you mean?
No, I'm just saying like with Switch House, like it was just like y'all did a one off project.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like why did I choose to leave 4D. That was just something that at the time that was going on, like mixtapes and Chopping Screw. You know, like my partner Shit. Agony Life had put a mixtape out, you know what I'm saying? The Slab Soldiers, Watch Them had did it, you know what I'm saying? It was the thing going on at that time in the 2000s, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Watch and Me was already pretty cool and had a mutual respect for each other and wanted to work with each other. So, you know what I'm saying? He done that, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, right. you mentioned leaving 4Deep, you know what I'm saying? Why did you end up leaving?
Man, sometimes I think that was it was a good experience as far as me stepping out and getting more independent, like Boss wanted me to anyway, and learn some things and learn, try to be a businessman like he already was, you know what I'm saying? It was also a bad thing because I think if I would have stayed in the group, and we would have continued to be consistent and overlooked the little minute details and bullshit, you know what I'm saying? That we would have been like at the appointed place at the appointed time then. But you know,
live and learn.
We live and learn, and thank God we still got life, and we can be here to speak for Boss. And to try to represent and do God's will right now, make the shit make sense. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can't just be sitting around here getting depressed on some shit I should have did. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but we did make amends, and I got back with 4Deep, and we did an album in 2004 called Foreclosure. You know, then Boss passed away after that, so it's kind of, you know, it's a thing. The album is called Foreclosure, so we got back Foreclosure. We handled our, you know, the difference and got closure on it, but you know, Boss did pass away after that, but we had a good time, man. And that's why we always gotta give it up to Big Boss, you know what I'm saying? Cause he the one got the ball rolling for us, as far as 4Deep and any other shit I ever did. You know, he was the stepping stone for me and Cool, I'm sure.
Already, man. That's what's up, man. Well, man, y'all got anything before we close out?
Man, just to say, I want to shout out too, man, to the whole H-Town, cause I be watching different shows, and there's so many artists that done put in work, man, like Gangsta Nip, OG Style, Big Mello, Too Much Trouble, Choice, man, it's that's what I'm saying. It's so many, you can't name everybody, whether from the old or the new. So I understand that, you know what I'm saying. But it's a lot of artists, man. I wanted to shout out to everybody, man, from J Prince on down to Lil Mario, you know, everybody in between, J Dog, you know what I'm saying?
Man, you were
Asian Green, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I was gonna say. You was down with AD Green, even so close to him to where you went to court.
That was my boy. That's my part of my family. Yeah. When he went to court and they sentenced him and gave him the case, I was in court with him. I was there. Me and Lil Mario and Magno, we was there and his mom was there. That was an emotional day, man. So to see him out here, and when I saw him on your show, I was like, man, there it is. You know, I had talked to him already on the phone, but you know, everybody looking good and he doing his thing, man. Mm. So it's good that him and J-Boy is back out, you know what I'm saying? Good talk. But yeah, man, just to shout out to everybody that's doing their thing, man. Kiki, South Walker, you feel me? The whole age, man. Mike Jones, Slim Powell, you know, Trey. Like, every man, Ace Time Throw, man. I'm a hip-hop junkie. Matter of fact, we got a show coming soon. If I ain't told you, I'm going to tell you now. It's called Cool and Class, the real hip-hop junkies. We got, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be live, man. We're going to have you on there. That'll be an honor for us, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But yeah, man, that's coming soon, but. Shout out to the whole H-Time, man. You know what I'm saying? That's all. To my nephew, Mr. J Jones. He finna pop out on Ice on Money Train. I was finna say Ice Age, but Mike Jones got a new thing going on, Money Train. And he on the Money Train with Mike, you know what I'm saying? Mr. J Jones. DJ Baz, you know. That's it, man.
Already, what you got?
Look, man, this I only mess with a couple of new artists in Houston. I'm gonna just say Mr. J Jones and Trey Dub. Trilla Trey Dub. He's up next. These are the cats that I mess with. These are the cats that I consult. Houston is very diverse, and Houston is very on top. I hope a lot of people pay attention to what's really going on.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Straight up. The podcast is Classical Hip Hop Junkies, and we on Donnie Houston, and this is what it is.
Already, that's what it is.
And
man,
also, on one last note, man, check out the album, What's Really Going On, 4D, man. It'll be for your benefit to go Google or get on YouTube. Man. Check out 4D, What's Really Going On, the album. It's a classic if you ain't never heard it or know anything about Houston hip-hop and history. 4D, Rolling 4D is a classic, man. Mm. It's on the album called What's Really Going On. You know what I'm saying? So check us out. Check out Class One, Once in the Blue Moon, man. KLAS. Space O-N-E, man, that's me, Class 1 of OG, old school damn fool. Check me out, man, Once in the Blue Moon, produced by K-Tron. We got some classy media shit out there.
What's your social media?
Class 1, the Dunn or the OG on Instagram or Facebook too, you know what I'm saying? It's Class 1.
My Instagram is shut down. So that lets you know, something I'm doing must be doing something right. So thank y'all for shutting me down, but I'm coming back. On Facebook, I'm Rodney Cool Rod Brown. Rodney Brown. It's just self-explanatory. I shoot music videos. I shoot movies. I'm behind the
cool
scenes.
Cool films.
I'm behind the scenes.
Cool films.
All right, that's what it is, man. Well, hey, man, it's Donnie Houston Podcast. We got
Donnie Houston.